never win. For the civilized world accepts as unforgivable sin any talking out loud with any librarian such as Marian. Madam Librarian.
Robert Preston in the original iconic musical, The Music Man. Of course, Marian the Librarian. Marian Peru is her real name, and she will be joining us coming up later on Live and Local today, which is to say the girl who's playing her in the upcoming production of from the Urbana Park District Youth Summer Theater. They're putting on The Music Man starting, well, next week, starting next Thursday, and we'll have a live preview from a few of their singers. But first, we have a preview of a concert taking place next Friday, not 2 days from now, but the Friday after, July the 26th, of the Champagne Cello Choir. And we have several of their members and their director live in our studio. Live and Local is your connection to local performances. Those are the performances we'll be concentrating on today's program. I'm Kevin Kelly, and I'll introduce you to the director of the Champagne Cello Choir, which is apparently a new name for a group that had some other name, which comes out of both her private cello studio, which is quite large, and also from the summer cello class or cello camp she's been teaching. Sylvia Liu has been around these parts for how long now?
More than 20 years.
That makes two of us. Yes. More than 20 years. Sylvia, how long have you been doing the cello camp?
For as long as I can remember, probably 10 years.
So that is mostly your students?
Yeah, I started with just my students, and we used to have different groups. So I would have a younger group, which could be beginners that can just play all the notes in first position, and we would do pieces like Pachelbel Canon, where they could just handle those eight notes. But the idea is for them to get used to playing with others, because some of them were quite young and obviously don't have a group to play at school at that age. And then I would always have high school students that are able to handle the higher and challenging positions. And so, but this year though is the first time I don't have any young ones, so I thought, hey, let's take it one notch, you know, higher and just see if we can make ourselves something a little bit more professional. And so we invited a wonderful soprano, Katie Buzard, to join us, and so that's why we have this program.
Have you had a cello choir come out of this before? Come out of the camp before?
We don't call ourselves cello choirs, but it's always a large cello ensemble, so really is a cello choir.
And you've had, so you've had performance at the...
Yeah, we've always had performances, but they were smaller scales, mostly just home concerts, and we occasionally do it at Clark Lindsay because it's the easiest, but this time I decided that we will take it a little bit more serious and then do it at the Episcopal Chapel.
Clark Lindsay Village in Urbana,
Urbana,
I guess it is.
Yeah. Right. So we actually will be doing a concert Thursday evening there. 7 o'clock is sort of our dress rehearsal. And then Friday we'll be at the location, the Episcopal Church.
Episcopal Church, yes. Episcopal Chapel of St. John the Divine, to be precise. 7 o'clock next Friday. And I know you brought a few things you want to preview. Why don't we start with one of them, and then I'll introduce who you brought. This is somebody's arrangement of a tune by the group Coldplay. I may or may not recognize the tune. I don't know anything about Coldplay, to be honest. What do you want to... Who did this arrangement? And
it's by a group called String Theory. It's actually out of a group of cellists from Columbia University. So I actually found a YouTube video, and I really liked it, so I purchased music from them directly.
So did this come from your own suggestion, or did one of the students happened to come up with this idea?
Oh, I don't remember exactly who. It might have been my sister's suggestion. And I'm always looking for something fun for the students. But of course, as I picked this, they said, oh, they've done too much of this particular one. So they were not all that excited about it. I was actually the most excited of all.
Okay. Well, let's see how excited they're going to be to play it right now on Live and Local. Members of the Champagne Cello Choir, directed by Sylvia Liu, and she's actually playing as a substitute for one of the parts here on Live and Local. Music by the group Coldplay, Viva La Vida, here on Live and Local, members of the Champagne Cello Choir, who are under the direction of Sylvia Liu. Sylvia was actually playing one of the cello parts, which I guess you won't be doing at the concert next Friday. And we had playing for us Martin Laufhutte on the high cello, the solo cello in this case. Martin actually sort of returning to this camp, I guess, as a guest. Is that a fair term? Martin's a senior at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. And I've known Martin for years now as a much younger cellist, and it was great to see him moving along. Also, Darren Liu, not coincidentally, Sylvia's son, and your daughter plays the cello too, does she still?
Yes.
Yeah, as well as doing a mean ballet dance. Alice Anderson also just graduated high school. Congratulations, by the way. And Manu Choi. Absent are Emma Hall, who you're actually playing her part right now, Rebecca Jung, and Joshua Farrar. They're going to be joining in the concert as well on Friday the 26th. How long does your camp go?
Really just starts next Monday and goes 3 hours till Thursday evening, supposedly. But because of this interview, I called sort of a last-minute rehearsal just last night. So I wanted you to know. that we have only met and rehearsed for less than 2 hours. Wow. For today's program. So it might be a little rough, but, you know, I guarantee it will be 10 times better by okay. next after 12 hours of rehearsal.
So it's basically a camp that's, I mean, we call these things camps, but there's no camping involved.
It's really rehearsals to get ready for the concert.
Yeah. Yeah. So 3 hours a day, mostly rehearsing, or do you just...
All rehearsing, maybe with a little snack break where I'm going to force everyone to play a proper etude.
Popper, for those of you who don't know, if you're not a cellist, you probably don't know. David Popper is a Czech cellist, if I remember right, and has written a whole ton of music for cello. Mostly solo, but also some ensemble music, or not?
Popper Requiem.
That's true. There is some chamber music, yeah.
What's the advantage, as far as you're concerned as a teacher, to having students play in a cello ensemble versus just playing solo?
Well, for one thing, cello is my instrument, so really my only instrument. So it's much easier for me to assign parts to students. And I feel like in the summer, there's no youth orchestra, and they're not everybody going away to camp. So those that are staying due to various reasons, maybe other schedule conflicts, it could be financial reasons, I find that to do a week-long camp is really an opportunity for them to learn things that they couldn't do over the school year, just privately. So just like playing in youth orchestra, you know, they learn to listen more carefully, and they learn to have to count and follow conductors. And really, for many of my students, this was their very first ensemble experience before they do it at school.
Was playing in a cello ensemble of some kind. What about from you guys who are here? What appeals to you about playing with other cellists instead of just, you know, playing in a practice room or playing an orchestra or playing with a pianist? What interests you about this little endeavor? Because I think it's an awful lot of fun to hear cello choirs myself, cello ensembles.
Well, yeah, I think...
This is Martin.
Yeah, especially the cello. There's something great about a cello ensemble. Just the sound, like the vocal kind of quality the cello possesses is really enjoyable for me personally. And I don't know. We also get to experience like very virtuosic things that maybe we wouldn't otherwise in like a regular string quartet or in an orchestra repertoire. So, I mean,
yeah, very really often fun. You have to play, for instance, the violin part of a string quartet, like this Barber Adagio. So, as you can imagine, the top two players would go all the way to the end of fingerboard, and that's something that they don't always get to do in orchestra.
All the way at the end of the fingerboard means very, very high.
Yes.
Which is what Martin, his music stand was in the way, so I didn't see how high you were actually going, but it sounded
Somewhat
like it was
high.
Sounded like it was up there, and that, you know, that presents its own technical challenges to any kind of a string player when you have to go up higher on there. What do you want to do as your second selection? We're just sampling the number of tunes from the concert they're going to give.
Right, and it's a shortened version. So we're going to play the very first part of the Liber Tango by Piazzolla.
Astor Piazzolla, the author of sort of the Argentinian concert tango, and so many arrangements made of so many of his pieces for so many different ensembles. It'll be fun to hear one for cello, which I don't think I've had the chance to do before.
Thank you.
I can imagine why you played such a short portion of that one. It's a much longer piece, but well, I was thinking now that you said you had, this was sort of a preview even of the rehearsal period with just a couple of hours to put these things together. It's a lot of rhythmic complexity in all of Piazzolla's music, but also that piece as well. Have you all, any of you guys heard other music by Piazzolla, just out of curiosity?
Yes, a lot.
Martin says, yeah.
I like Piazzolla a lot. I think the way that he brings like the tango into like a concert venue is really fascinating to me. And a lot of his music is a lot like this, very rhythmic and challenging. And he has like this chromatic kind of way to his compositions. It's really beautiful stuff, I think.
His music hasn't inspired you to go out and pick up the accordion or the bandoneon?
No, not yet, but I've been very inspired to play like a lot of his music, and I'd love to play more Piazzolla, but there's only so much for the cello.
Well, yeah. What about the rest of you? Is this new music to you? Everybody's nodding.
Yeah.
Worth checking out. And Sylvia, when you teach a piece like this, just about all cello choir music, I imagine, is transcribed from somewhere else, or at least most of it.
Yes, definitely. And I guess cello choir, this genre, must be getting very popular because there are a fair amount now on the web. There are even websites that you can download. For instance, this particular Libertango version, which was by David Johnstone, I think it's a gentleman from England, and he just has this, a whole colossal of a website for anybody who wants to play, just to download. And I happen to find this one as well as another one we're going to do with Katie, Summertime by Gershwin.
Oh, Gershwin. Do you find it an advantage when you're coaching a group like this to bring out recordings of whatever the original
That's what I plan on doing, and I also posted, I send them YouTube videos and ask everybody to please watch, and then, get some idea before the first rehearsal. And those that come to lessons, I usually will help them out with whatever parts that they have trouble with before the first rehearsal.
What do you all like about playing the cello? You've been playing for a long time, some of you. All of you, I think. Alice?
I just like the tone of it better than most of the other orchestral instruments. It's closer to the human voice, and it's very smooth and rich.
Yeah, the richness is certainly something I like. What about Darren, Manu?
Well, I like to be able to sit down all the time. Violins and violas, you're not guaranteed a chair all the time.
No, you're not. So you're inherently lazy, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah, well, as long as you admit these things and know what'll fit in with your personality. Well, I want to introduce the non-cello soloist who's going to be joining the Champagne Cello Choir in their concert two Saturdays hence. Katie Buzard, Catherine Buzard, is born and raised in these parts and is a senior now, or is going to be a senior at Princeton University, majoring in music with a certificate in vocal performance. And I've heard her voice develop over the years with, sporadic chances to hear her in different situations. And as Sylvia said, she'll be singing with the choir Summertime by Gershwin, but also the piece we're about to hear, which is quite a famous piece among cellists and sopranos, for that matter. The Bachianus Brasileiros No. 5 by Brazilian composer Heitor Villa-Lobos. This is the most famous part. There's the part that's not as famous, which is the fast bit, but this is the aria from there. And again, we're hearing an excerpt?
Yes, just the A section.
So the first part of this, Katie Buzard joining four members of the Champagne Cello Choir. Sylvia's going to direct this one, and they'll be giving a concert next Friday, July the 26th.
Thank you.
First portion of the Bachianas Brasileiras number 5, the aria from that piece by Heitor Villa-Lobos. Katie Buzard is the in the soprano role, and then we heard four members of the seven-person Champagne Cello Choir, as it's called. They're going to be performing a concert next Friday, July the 26th at 7 o'clock at the Episcopal Chapel of St. John the Divine on South Wright Street in Champaign. Martin Laufwitte, Darren Liu, Alice Anderson, and Manu Choi joining us along with their director, Sylvia Liu. And thanks very much for coming in, and have a lot of fun preparing the concert next week.
Thank you for having
us.
Thank you very much.
It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our program is made possible with support from Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, announcing the 2013-14 season featuring El Nora, the Guitar Festival, Hungarian State Folk Ensemble, Gypsy Romance, Meredith Monk, On Behalf of Nature, Moscow Festival Ballet, and more. Tickets are on sale Saturday, August 10th. At 10 a.m. Stay tuned for another live preview. This will be of the Urbana Park District Summer Youth Summer Theater production of Meredith Wilson's The Music Man.
Boys, what else? The piper pays him.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But he doesn't know the territory.
That is the iconic, albeit somewhat quirky, opening to Meredith Wilson's The Music Man, which has become, as I think the press release to the upcoming production of this said, something of an all-American institution. The Urbana Park District's Youth Summer Theater is going to present The Music Man starting next Thursday, July 25th, with Thursday through Saturday performances at 7:30, and then a matinee on Sunday the 28th at 2 o'clock at the Urbana High School Theater on Race Street in Urbana. And here with us on Live and Local today are a few of the cast members and two of the directors to give us a live preview. Kyle Thomas is the stage director. And I understand this is your first outing with this particular organization?
Yes, with Urbana Park District, yes. And I've enjoyed every second of it. We've got a great cast, and we've had a great production staff that's been just wonderful to work with.
And you say first outing with Urbana Park District, which means you've done theater elsewhere, I assume.
Yes. I am currently a PhD student here in the theater department. I used to work as a professional actor, and I still direct as much as I can here on campus and any other venues I get the chance to do it.
And so did somebody see you in a production or just hear of you?
I actually heard about this opportunity through a professor on campus. She's a friend of mine, and she has some connections to Urbana Park District and knew that they were needing a director this summer and told me about the opportunity, and that's how I got in contact with them to do it.
Have you worked with young people in this sort of situation before?
Yes. I used to teach high school and middle school. So for about 3 years I did that, and so I'm pretty familiar with the age group and working with these kids. And one of my things is I think a lot of the times we underappreciate the abilities of this age group, and these kids have shown that they can really rise to the task of doing some really excellent work.
So this is high school and middle school in this production?
This is ages 8 to 18, so about 10 years span of cast members. So it goes all the way down into elementary school.
I was going to say, if you're 8 years old, what are you in, about third grade?
Third grade,
or so?
I think, is about what that is, yeah.
Yeah, and how do you have to approach the different ages differently, if at all, differently?
It's a challenge, especially when you have that wide of an age range in the room. Some of the material, the kids are not just ready to grasp yet. And so you kind of have to be able to present it to them a little bit differently, whether it's thematic ideas or whether it's the particular historical context. Those sorts of things are a little different and difficult for the younger ages. Some of them do get it right away, but most of them in general, they're there to have a good time, have fun, and really learn a little bit more about musical theater. And so you have to present information and ideas in that context.
And also with us is somebody who knows a great deal about working with high school students as well as younger students, is Stephen Larson, who's been sitting at the keyboard many times in this studio for productions of Champaign Central High School, and also previous renditions of, or previous editions of, the Urbana Park District Youth Summer Theater. How many shows have you been involved with for the Park District?
This will be my 14th show.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So you know these people well.
Some of them are use of new faces here.
Yeah, I was going to say, it would. It does. That's one of the wonderful things about working with kids is they grow, they get older, they go away, new ones come up, and so on. What do you? Anything particularly strike you about this batch of kids this year?
Well, I saw them for the first time 2 weeks ago at our dress rehearsal for the Urbana Pops promo. So I'm just getting to know them.
And you will get to know them a great deal more in the coming week. So Tech Week begins?
Tech Week begins actually, we're moving in tomorrow
Thursday.
Morning.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll be at the newly renovated Urbana High School, which has an orchestra pit that is cut off physically, visually from the singers. So they will have a video feed of me moving my head to the beat.
We'll have Stephen underneath the stage, actually.
Oh, I did that once.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Not the world's most comfortable feeling, as I recall, being so remotely detached.
You point to a camera and kind of hope for the best.
Yeah, we didn't have a camera.
Oh.
We had a little box that was over my head in the stage.
Oh,
boy. That was, we don't want to go there. Beauty and the Beast, that one was. In fact, we had people actually sitting on my head, sort of, during the production. Well, we have with us the star of the two of the stars of the show, or the two main stars of the show, mm-hmm. as Professor, as it were, Harold Hill, Andrew Lee, hi, Andrew, and as Marion Peru, a.k.a. Marion the Librarian, whose introduction we heard at the top of the hour. Actually, we heard
cool.
Robert Preston singing that song.
Oh, yes. Lovely. Marion,
yeah. Natalie Bina will be in that role. And then also in the role of Marcellus, Andrew Sullender. And to be honest, I sort of forget, who is Marcellus in this?
He is a townsperson, but he is also Harold, or as he calls him, Gregory, a friend from way back when they used to con people together until he settled down into an apple pie life in the Midwest.
Which is to say, until Harold Hill settled.
Until he returns.
Yep.
And what does Marcellus know? He's going to blow his cover inadvertently if he's not careful. Mm-hmm. More or less. Well, I know you brought a few songs to do, so why don't we hear the first of those? What are we starting with?
We're going to do The Sadder But Wiser Girl. This is between Harold and Marcellus, and we've got a few lines leading right up into that song that they're going to do for us.
And does this come early in the show?
This comes, it's in the kind of halfway through the first act. This is a little bit after Harold has introduced the trouble of River City and the pool table and the need for something like a boys band. He's basically brought the need for his boys band and band instruments and band uniforms into the town and kind of gotten everybody on board with that idea.
And, of course, the need from his point of view is?
The need is that he needs to sell this stuff. This is his con. So he has to introduce a problem in the town, and that he's the only guy that can solve that problem.
And hopefully he'll come out ahead, which in fact he does, but not the way he thought that he would. All right, Andrew Lee as Harold Hill, Andrew Sullender as Marcellus, Stephen Larson at the keyboard, from the Music Band, live on Live and Local.
Hey, Gregory.
Well, hey, Marcellus, and don't call me Greg.
Right. How'd you make out with the music teacher?
Scrumptious. Ed out my hand the second I tipped my hat.
She did! Boy, you sure did cut a swath tonight. Even I thought you knew something about leading a band.
Oh, yeah.
Just like when you used to imitate that band concert fellow guy back in Joplin.
Oh, yeah. Kid stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm in rare form these days. Just keep your eyes on me for the next 4 weeks.
4 weeks? But it only used to take, 10 days for the band instruments to arrive.
It still does, but it takes 4 weeks for the uniforms.
You haven't added uniforms.
Uniforms and instruction books.
Instruction books? But you can't pass yourself off as a music professor. I mean, not for any 4 weeks.
Mars.
But you don't know one note from another.
I have this revolutionary new system called the Think System, where you don't have to bother with notes.
But in 4 weeks, people will want to hear some music. You'll have to lead a band.
But when the uniforms arrive, they'll forget everything else. At least long enough for me to collect and leave. Oh, this is a refined operation, and I've got it timed right down to the last wave of the brakeman's hand on the last train out of town. Now, Mr. Washburn, if you'll excuse me.
Gotta line yourself up a little canoodling, huh?
Well.
Say, I could set you up with Ethel's sister, nice girl, teaches Sunday school.
No wide-eyed, eager, wholesome Sunday school teacher for me. That kind of girl spins webs no spider ever. Listen, boy, a girl who trades on all that purity merely wants to trade my independence for her security. The only affirmative she will file refers to marching down the aisle. No golden, glorious, gleaming, pristine goddess. No, sir, to no Diana do I play fawn. I can tell you that right now. I snarl. I hiss. How can ignorance be compared to bliss? I spark. I fizz. For the lady who knows what time it is, I cheer, I rave. For the virtue, I'm too late to say, the sadder but wiser girl for me. No bright-eyed, blushing, breathless baby doll baby. No, sir, that kind of child ties knots. No sailor ever knew. I prefer to take a chance on a more adult romance. No dewy young miss who keeps resisting all the time she keeps insisting. No wide-eyed, innocent, wholesome female. No, sir, why she's the fisherman, I'm the fish you see. Plop! I flinch, I shy. When the last with a delicate air goes by, I smile, I grin. When the gal of a touch of sin walks in, I hope, I pray. For Hesse to win just one more A. The sadder but wiser girl's the girl for me. The sadder but wiser girl for me.
Yay. Oh, that is a song that shows him to be a snake.
Yes.
Harold Hill, played by Andrew Lee, and Marcellus Washburn, is that his name?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Played by Andrew Sullender. I don't think I ever knew that he had a last name. I must have missed that line in previous shows that I've seen. We're previewing the production by the Youth Summer Theater Program for the Urbana Park District of The Music Man. It's going to happen next Thursday through Saturday, so the 25th through the 28th at Urbana High School. And Kyle Thomas is directing this production. What do you think is the appeal of this particular show? For example, another Champaign Urbana Theater Company with which I've been involved at times, though not lately, does this on each 10th anniversary. I think it's how they got their start, and they keep bringing it back, and it's done so often. What's the big deal?
It's a classic American musical theater piece. It really resonates, I think, no matter where you're from or where you are, especially in the Midwest. It's about Iowa, which is just our next-door neighbor. And I like the song in the beginning, the Iowa Stubborn song, this Midwestern chip-on-our-shoulder kind of small-town way of looking at the world. And for our particular community, I think there's a resonance there that a lot of people really identify with. And beyond that, in a larger scheme of things, this is just a show that was written in 1950 or premiered in 1957. It's about 1912, Midwestern Americana, and it's about how things just change over time, and how if we kind of open ourselves up to even a stranger in our midst and allow ourselves to really accept some of those changes, that we actually find ourselves changed oftentimes for the better. And so I think that's a theme that really resonates regardless of time period and when this is performed.
Do you think that part of its acceptability in our time is due at all to the fact that it was, when it came out in the 50s, already celebrating an older time then?
Yes, I think that's a key point.
1912, the world was really changing. We were on the precipice of World War I. The world was really changing there. And we're kind of, in 1957, we're looking back and seeing just how much the world has changed, how much things like women's suffrage and things like transportation and technology have really moved the world forward. And then in 1957, there's a lot of anxiety about the changes that are coming in the future at that time period as well. The world is just really, really changing. It's becoming more urbanized. Again, technology is just ramping up at a faster and faster pace. And I think Meredith Willson is saying, hey, guys, this is nothing new. This is the world is constantly changing. It is speeding up. And new changes and new people are coming into our midst all the time. And they can actually have a really positive impact in our lives.
Seems like maybe just thinking about doing this show today in 2013, the only thing that I can I guess I can think of a couple of things that are definitely different now is you don't have traveling salesmen in quite the same way, although you certainly have shysters in all kinds of contexts. That's right. And you don't have librarians of the same sort anymore, you know, just a... But then again, you know, we still have small-ish public libraries and so on. And I suppose in some ways roles of men and women have changed a lot, but then not so much as we might like to think. So that may fit as well.
Marion's very much a modern woman. Natalie might be able to speak to that a little bit more.
She's very much Marion's very kind of different from the rest of the people that are in her town, and she can be much more like open-minded, and she's definitely wants to be very strong. Like at the beginning of the show, she is not married and is not with a man, and there's many times that her mom, Mrs. Prue, is always like, you know, when are you going to find yourself a man? And for her, that's not like what she needs to be happy and successful, which is like such, I think, a modern concept at that point.
Well, are we going to hear you next? Or what are we hearing
next?
Yes,
actually, yeah. We are going to hear Till There Was You, one of the famous songs from the show, the duet, mostly sung by Marion, but Harold does come in at the end of the song. It was famously covered by the Beatles, actually.
I don't think that I knew that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no.
But which just probably means I'm out of
I think
in
it's
in
the
left
only,
field.
If I remember correctly, it may be the only musical theater piece that they ever covered.
So this is coming at the point where Marion is realizing that she's more or less fallen off the deep end.
Yeah, she's definitely realized that she, despite everything that Harold is or has done, she really kind of wants to have this like moment with him. So that's also kind of like a woman strength thing right there, that she approaches him.
Natalie Bina as Marion, the librarian from The Music Man here on Live and Local.
There were bells on a hill, but I never heard them ringing. No, I never heard them at all, till there was you. But I never saw them winging. No, I never saw them at all, till there was you. And there was music, and there were wonderful roses. They tell me in sweet fragrant meadows of dawn and dew. There was love all around, but I never heard it singing. No, I never heard it at all, till there was you.
Was love all around, but I never heard it singing. No, I never heard.
with Stephen Larson at the keyboard. We heard Natalie Bina as Marion Peru, and at the end of that song, Andrew Lee as Harold Hill from The Music Man. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly, and we're previewing Urbana Park District's Youth Summer Theater production of that show coming up very soon. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-244-9309. Tonight at 7 o'clock on the FM 90.9 Evening Concert, it's the Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival. On the program, Schubert's famous quintet for piano and strings, known as the Trout Quintet. At 8 o'clock, it's Center Stage from Wolf Trap. On that program, Tchaikovsky's Serenade for Strings, performed by the East Coast Chamber Orchestra, which was on the U of I campus not long ago, just this past season. It's the Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival and Center Stage from Wolf Trap, starting tonight at 7 on the Evening Concert here on FM 90.9. Since we're talking about, a little bit about the, as it were, the timelessness of The Music Man, I'm curious from the actors here whether you, as, you're all in high school, I assume, mm-hmm. whether yes, as yep. high school students in 2013, mm-hmm. you had any issues relating to your particular characters from, you know, 1912, 100 years ago, now that we think about it. They're thinking hard.
Yeah. For me, that wasn't a problem. Maybe partially because I always loved the show so much, and I grew up like watching the movie, so I grew up always like wanting to connect with the characters. Mm. So they already seemed kind of familiar to me, especially Marion. But also, I think that even though it does take place in, you know, like this older time, like we're kind of talking about, a lot of those issues are like issues with like truthfulness and like, you know, like falling in love and feelings like that, they still happen all the time because they're like human issues and they'll kind of always exist as long as we interact. So
does this mean that Marion is a role you always wanted to play?
I mean, it wasn't like a role where I never actually thought I would have the opportunity to play it. So that was like really awesome for me. It just kind of like came to be an opportunity, and so when I auditioned, I was almost like I didn't want to get my hopes up because it definitely is something that I love a lot.
And then here you won the role. Andrew? Either Andrew?
Well, to go in a line down the line, I think that Marcellus is very easily to relate to me because, I mean, he's just a very awkward guy who wants to be liked by everyone and tries so hard to be liked by everyone, which I think that any actor can sympathize with that.
For me, like, the time period stuff, it's mostly, like, little things that I had to, like, look up and, like, I didn't understand at first. Like, I didn't know what Captain Billy's Whizbang was, and I didn't know what Knickerbockers and, like, stuff like that. Just, like, little things that, like, but it's still a very universal play. Like, this, the raw emotions and, like, the songs are still, they still hold up after all these years. And, yeah, it's just, like, really wonderful. I encourage everyone to see it.
And what was that first thing you said? I know what Knickerbockers are.
Captain Billy's Whizbang. It's apparently like a joke book, but yeah.
Okay, well, I didn't know that. I have to look that up myself now. Well, I know you have one more song you want to do. It's one of the very most famous songs from the show, mm-hmm. if not the most famous song from the show, probably most often played of everything here. Mm-hmm. And this is sung by Harold Hill. Mm-hmm.
76 trombones.
Yay!
76 trombones. This is his promise of what's going to happen, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. This is what having a band in the town is going to look like.
76 trombones led the big parade, with 110 cornets close at hand. They're followed by rows and rows of the finest virtuosos, the cream of every famous band. 76 trombones caught the morning sun, with 110 cornets right behind. There are more than 1,000 reeds springing up like weeds. There were horns of every shape and kind. There were copper bottom timpani and horse platoon,
thundering, thundering all along the way. Double bell euphoniums and big bassoons, each bassoon having its big fat say. There were 50 mounted cannon in the battery, thundering, thundering louder than before. Clarinets of every size and trumpeters who'd improvise a full octave higher than the score. Six trombones hit the counterpoint of 110 cornets blazed away to the rhythm of harch, harch, harch. All the kids began to march, and they're marching still right today. Yay.
From the Music Man. Were you all involved in the Urbana Pops Orchestra's preview? Was it last week, 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks. I think it was two weeks ago.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, we all were.
Yeah. We sang like three songs. Yeah.
Shapoopy, there was Till There Was You, and then 76 Trombones. Those were the songs that we previewed at the concert.
And I imagine that was a lot of fun to stand in front of a large orchestra.
It was so great to hear them, especially the overture that they did before we started to sing was just magical. The way they played, hearing how it'll sound.
And of course, 76 trombones with, that's that piece often done by bands, and especially, I suppose. Any of you play instruments? Any of the three of you?
I had piano lessons till I was 10, then I quit.
I played the trombone in fifth grade, if that counts.
That's a good one to have done from this case, but for a little longer might help. Yeah, yeah. Natalie?
I do not play any instrument.
Nothing at all.
Except for the vocal cords.
I had like a little recorder when I was seven, and it was like with like Daffy Duck and stuff. Like it was like a Daffy Duck book with how to play basic songs.
So you can kind of relate to this role in a different sort of way.
I think when I bought that, I was destined to play Harold Hill.
And but there is some live playing on stage, I'm going to bet, from some people who can play something.
Actually, no. Meredith Wilson has done a good job of making this the type of musical that you can do no matter the skill level of your performers in terms of playing instruments. There's a song that Amaryllis can play on stage if you've got the capability to do that. We unfortunately don't because our set is very small and we're keeping things kind of to a minimum. So she will look like she's playing, but everything is done from the orchestra, even when the kids come in at the very end. And I guess I won't give everything away, but
don't want to do that.
Yeah, but these kids do come in at the end, and when they do play the instruments, we can say that at least. all of that comes from our orchestra, but we'll see. We might let them make some experimental blats, as Marion Peru says in the script.
Experimental blats, that's right. Well, it's The Music Man is going to be put on by the Youth Summer Theater Program at the Urbana Park District starting next Thursday. It runs Thursday through Saturday, July 25th through the 27th at 7:30 p.m., and then Sunday, July 28th at 2 o'clock p.m. All performances are at the newly renovated theater at Urbana High School on South Race Street. If you want more information, you can go to the Urbana Park District website. And my thanks to Director Kyle Thomas, Orchestra Director Stephen Larson, Justin Brower will be doing the music vocal direction especially. He's not with us today. And then as Harold Hill, Andrew Lee, as Marion the Librarian, Natalie Bina, and as Marcellus, Andrew Sullender. Thanks all very much for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
This is awesome.
It's Live and Local on FM 90.9 tonight at King Park in Urbana. You can go hear Blues from the Painkillers. That show starts at 6:30. And tonight at 8 o'clock at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan, it's Will Rogers' Follies, and that is continuing for a while at that theater as well. Lots of opportunities always for live music. Go and find it in your area. You're listening to 90.9 WYNL FM and HD Urbana. With translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music, and more for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. I'm Kevin Kelly. It is 5 o'clock.